So, Thomas, there's a storm a raging. Mm-hmm. There's tea a brewing.
There is. I think it means it's time for Tom Matt Attack.
I think it does. Rather ominous introduction. Tom Matt Attack. Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm all right. A little warm. It's been this storm has been coming all day, pretty much, on and off.
It has. I could feel it coming in the air today.
Yeah.
Hold on, I said. But it didn't listen.
They're welcoming me back to Denmark after my two-week trip home to the UK. With a beautiful storm.
With a fantastic storm. Just rain, really. Nothing to write home about. This is the weather in Denmark, for those of you who are listening. That's the name of this podcast.
It is.
We give you a breakdown of all of the weather as it happens, when it happens.
Okay.
And currently, a bit overcast. There's a light drizzle. Cold front coming in from the south.
More than a light drizzle.
Yeah, well, no, it isn't a light drizzle. It was absolutely chucking it down earlier, but I think we're back to standard Denmark weather.
But it's a frustrating kind of weather because usually I can justify playing a video game in this sort of terrible, dull, rainy weather. Yet it's been on and off, hasn't it? At one minute, it looks like a lovely day outside. It's warm and inviting and you feel you should be frolicking in the flowers. And the next, it's dull and dreary and miserable and the kind of weather you could be sat in front of the television playing.
Also very clammy, not very comfortable gaming weather because the controller sweats up in your hand.
I did have a nice position by the open window playing on the Mega Drive for a brief period today.
But contemplating life, reflecting your soul as you played Brutal Paws of Fury.
Oh, dear me.
It looked like you were enjoying that.
That's a bad game.
Really?
I'm afraid to say. It's a worse game than Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
You enjoyed that?
I enjoyed that, yeah. And I'd heard so many bad things about that game. Well, mainly because I always used to trust N64 magazine.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they're usually right. It may be just down to the fact that I've played a lot of fighters in my time and I've played my fair share of bad fighters and I have played worse than Clay Fighter 63 and a third. I've played Brutal Paws of Fury for one.
Yeah.
A game that I've actively avoided, but seeing that Matthew managed to pick it up, I decided to give it a
What was that other shot. Terrible fighting game we played on the Super Nintendo? Was it Tough Enough?
Oh, Tough Enough. That was better than Brutal Paws of Fury.
Really? I can't imagine.
The problem with this game is that I only seem to punch and kick.
Yeah.
Which isn't great. You know, you want to be able to do the usual things and pull off moves. Maybe there's a move list in the instruction manual you take a look at. It's probably a Mortal Kombat-alike fighting system as opposed to a Street Fighter one.
Well, that's probably a fair bet, I'd imagine.
But what really broke the game for me is the fact that some of the people you fight against are like, the tactics they use, this rat just ran at me and pummeled me into the side of the screen.
That's his fighting style,
ran at
Tom.
Me, pummeled me.
He's a dirty rat. You should have expected that.
He was a dirty
that.
Rat, but... Yeah, it doesn't make for a lot of fun, I'm afraid. So that's a bit of a stinker.
Maybe they should have called it Brutal Pause the Fury, so you could have had a recuperate and you could have had a rest and you could have figured out the controls.
I could have rest and played Clay Fighter, which I think after coming... If I come from a game that bad to Clay Fighter, it's obviously going to look better than the other one.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, it's good to be back. It's good to be here playing... games of dubious quality. How are you?
I'm all right. I've kind of also been away, not really here at all, actually. I've kind of been in the country for a couple of days, then departed the country, gone here, gone there.
You're playing with that tea bag.
I am playing with the tea bag. I'm currently taking a picture for someone who will be very... Oh, it's fallen off the plinth. For someone who will be very happy on Retro Collect. But I'm just going to take this picture and I'm going to send it to him and we can get a live result. There we go.
No other podcast where you find the presenters taking a photo of a tea bag while they're meant to be doing a podcast.
No, they won't. And that's the kind of dedication we have to you, listeners. We're creating modern art, both verbally and through tea bags and Lego
bricks.
It's beautiful.
You wanted me to put my tea bag on there as well.
I was contemplating it. I don't think you need to now. I don't think we need to double decker it. I don't think it'll work, Tom. I think it'll kill it.
Okay.
Right, go on. Try it. But yeah, my week's been all right. I had some crazy, crazy flea market pickups here in Denmark, which I posted, including one bulk of Mega Drive games that Tom was playing Brutal Pause of Fury from, as well as... See? You did it. You ruined it.
All we've done is made a mess all over the table.
You have.
You started it.
Mine was on the plinth. There we go. Put the plinth on top of the tea bags. It's a statement about modern art. There we go. I'll take a picture of that as well.
Oh, great. Okay.
So yeah, I had some crazy pickups. I got a bundle of 20 Mega Drive games for a relatively good price, including some rare ones such as Robocop 3, Mega Turrican, and Separation Anxiety, which, while not a very good game, possibly one of the greatest titles I've ever heard.
That's Spider-Man. It is. You play as... It's not a totally different game.
Is there another game called Separation Anxiety?
About a divorce.
Maybe, yeah. Venom Separation Anxiety, yeah, for the Mega Drive. The brother, if you would, of Maximum Carnage.
Which is quite highly regarded.
Yes, Separation Anxiety not so much, though apparently
rarer.
I haven't had a chance. I watched someone play it and it didn't look too good.
Okay.
Side-scrolling beat 'em up where you play as Venom. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to playing Mega Turrican, but I still haven't had the chance to sit down and actually put the controller in my hand and play it.
Because you've been too busy playing Destiny.
Too busy playing Destiny, which I'll get to in a moment. And then I picked up a load of NES games as well.
And you bought them. You not only picked them up.
I did. I picked them up.
You took them to the seller and said, give me all your NES games.
Well, actually, no, I didn't. I said, give me two of your NES games. Then I said, give me your gold medal challenge 92. And then I said, no, actually, I'll have all of them.
And they were like, oh, will this boy make his mind up?
Yeah, but I did. I got them all in the end in their cassette tape rental glory. So, yeah,
And that makes them better.
To some people.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I guess the cases are sturdier.
Well, it's just a matter of fact that they were rental cases. Like, a lot of games that you'll find, such as Gold Medal Challenge 92, were games that were only available in short runs and for rentals. It's nothing like Sculptor's Cut. It's nothing like a Blockbuster exclusive rental-only game. But it's just something that kind of gives it that edge over, say, you know, it can add value to a cart such as Metal Gear, it being a rental one, because it'll have a rental sticker on it, which means it's a rarer game, technically speaking.
But the game
than the
itself
other ones.
On the cart.
No,
nope,
same game.
It's exactly
same game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to play them, so I don't really care about it. But I got some good titles in there. I got Russian Attack and Metal Gear, as well as Mac Rider and Hogan's Alley, which I need a light gun for. I need to get a zapper.
You got them for a reasonable price.
I did. I got them for a damn reasonable price. Okay. I paid like...
That's what we like to hear, Matthew.
Exactly. As well as that N64 lot. Unfortunately, Smash Brothers doesn't seem like it's working, so I'm going to have to disassemble that and clean the cart up. But the others, with a little bit of cotton bud and a little bit of...
A little bit of cotton bud action. You should have seen him.
Some cotton bud in and some elbow grease.
Giving it a wriggle.
Yeah. I don't encourage the use of any grease but elbow grease on video games, but a good bit of elbow grease. We got those carts working.
That's a good strategy then. I've never done it myself.
Get a cotton bud.
Well, what are you dousing it with anything?
No. You can do it with a very, very dry cotton bud without rubbing alcohol is the best, because then it gets the dirt off the contact. However, if you haven't got any rubbing alcohol to hand, which I haven't, you put the Q-tip or cotton bud, you know, the thing you stick in your ears with a bit of cotton wool on the end, on the cartridge, and you go up and down. You don't go side to side, because that fucks the contact up and creates static. You go up and down very slowly.
It's like when you're cleaning a disc.
Yes.
A scratch disc or a dusty disc. Yes. You want to like move away outwards, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, you want to go in lines rather than across.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a few of the carts working as a result of that. I'll try Smash Brothers, as it was one of the main reasons I bought it. But it was 100 krona for a ludicrous amount of games. As does Mario Kart and Mario Golf, which is good to know. Those are the only four we tested out. And that Dual
Heroes doesn't work yet.
Yeah, but who cares? You were like, oh, it's a fighting game, but it's terrible.
It's one, again, I've actively avoided.
Okay.
I mean, I collect fighting games, but I like to just get the good ones. I like to do a bit of research. I don't want to have to waste my money.
Yeah.
But if it's the right price...
You'll take it.
I'll take it.
Fair enough.
It's a horrible thing, isn't it? It's collecting malarkey, really. Because I've got so into fighting games, it's like, oh, well, it's a fighting game for that platform. I've got most of them. Well, I'll bite the bullet and I'll get maybe one that isn't quite as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not in the business as you are with the whole collection.
I want the whole collection of Game Boy games. It's still going strong. I haven't really bought that many this month, not at least since we last talked.
Not compared to what you were doing before.
But that was because I've spent a lot of money on other things this month, and I've been going places, and so I've caned my savings as a result of it.
Yeah, but, and then you can't really justify buying.
No, to be honest, I'm probably going to sell or trade a lot of the stuff I got this month. Yeah, but no one seems to want any of it, which is kind of the annoying thing. Like, they're all quite sought-after titles. It's just everyone doesn't really seem to want to trade Game Boy games at the moment. I think everyone's kind of got on to the trend of collecting Game Boy at the moment. I guess in the...
Well, you say other people are collecting it, so yeah, they've already got it, and they don't want...
Well, no. I guess there's a lot of people who either are holding out for more desirable titles or they don't want to part with their Game Boy games.
Oh, because you want to swap.
I want to swap for things I haven't got. Like, I've amassed, I've got about 30 duplicate carts now that I'm trying to get rid of. Mm. And even, I've got games in there like Mega Man Wily's Revenge, Mega Man 2, I've got a Spare a Kid Dracula now, and no one seems to want any of it, which is a bit weird.
Hmm.
Bit dubious.
So if you want any of Matt's games...
Yeah, get in contact at CMAcast and let me know. I'll do some swaps. I know our good friend Ali at the Retro Hunter was interested in my Mega Man.
He's got more games than he knows what to do with.
So. I do, yeah. More games than you can shake a stick at. But, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I did get a very, very nice deal on a copy of Kid Dracula. Got it for €20, complete in box, which is a steal, because I paid more than that for the cart.
I like that. That could be a regular segment.
Maybe I'll
cut steal of the week.
Yeah, Danish steal of the week.
That's great because it sounds like a Danish deal of the week. Yeah, yet it's original.
It is original content, art, poetry, emotion. Yeah, I've been playing Destiny as well, but yes. I'll let you talk about what you've been playing first. I feel I've been rabbiting on a little bit, Thomas.
Well, I'll briefly go over what I've bought. Okay. First of all, get that out of the way. So I went back to the UK, as you know, and I got the Turok bug.
Ooh.
Because I was playing Turok Rage Wars on the N64 with a friend, and we used to play it quite a lot. Actually, I played it with two of my good friends back in the UK, because I was like, oh, we got to play Rage Wars. Played it the other night. It's fantastic. It just brought back so many good memories.
I saw you in your pickup video, you kind of stifling through your drawers and going like, Rage
And I pulled
Wars!
Out Rage Wars, yes. I made a video while I was back home. It's a game room tour, an update. I did post one just before I left for the UK. But there's been a lot in... You know, added to the collection since that video. I think that video was made about 2 years ago. So I thought, let's share a bit of that. And yes, Turok Rage Wars was one I pulled out because I'm playing it recently. I said, this is a great game.
I really remember playing that. My next door neighbour Phil had it. Mm. I remember it being a damn good game.
Yeah, because it's straightforward death matches done really well with some great weapons. It plays a dream. Great level designs too. Good selection of characters. You know, you'll take your time unlocking them as well because there's quite a few characters to unlock in the game.
Yeah.
Sadly, I couldn't find my save game on my memory card, so we only had the basic characters.
It's a bit of a shame.
But yeah, it got me back in the Turok bug. And
I always kind of forget that the N64 has a memory card.
Yeah, not all games use it. Some games, I don't know why, they decided not to save to the cartridge. But to save to the memory card instead.
From what I remember, it was something to do with the capacity of the cartridges in the early days. Doesn't Super Mario Land 64, Super Mario 64 use it?
No, it's
really?
Cartridge. Nintendo, I don't think, ever used a memory card.
Maybe it was something...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but...
Maybe it was something to do with how the hardware works then, or maybe it was just a cost thing with the cartridges.
Maybe it was a bit of a fiddle for developers to do it. I don't know. But Turok.
Yes.
Turok Evolution, I was very keen on playing, being the fourth in the Turok series. I never played Turok 3, Shadow of Oblivion, I think
Turok
it's called.
3 is also very good. I will vouch you for Turok it. 3. Yes, my next door neighbour Phil also had Turok 3.
I mean, I remember at the time reading that it wasn't as good as Turok 2.
We enjoyed it.
And it came out later on in lifespan. But because I enjoyed Rage Wars, I think I'll enjoy Turok 3.
I think you will.
I will find it one day, but it's quite expensive on eBay.
Really?
We're talking about £20.
Well, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but I haven't justified myself to
spend £20
on it.
Are we talking cart or complete box?
Just a cartridge.
I'm sure you could probably get it cheaper. I'm sure...
I'll keep my eye out for it anyway. Evolution, on the other hand, was very inexpensive. Yeah. I popped into a cash converter's coming back from Southport. I had to change at Wigan. And right next to the train station at Wigan, there's a cash converter
that's
shop.
Convenient.
For those not familiar, it's a place where people trade in their wares and they sell it on to cash converters. They resell it. Like a pawn shop.
I think a lot of our listeners are British. I think a lot of them will understand.
They will know. So I don't need to explain cash converters to the majority of the
it's
listeners
just
out there.
It's just a pawn shop. It's a bog shop and to the Danish listeners.
Yeah. And there was a copy there, £1.50. And I thought, I haven't got any memory cards with me. I left them all in Denmark. So I saw a memory card in the cabinet and asked, how much was it? And I think it's about £1. I said, it's £1.50. I said, that's fine. Yeah. So for £3, I got my memory card and Turok. And then I could put my memory card in the box. You know how you can with PS2 games?
Yeah.
That was nice. Took that home with me. I very much enjoy the game. I think it's great. I'd heard that the PS2 version was the worst of the bunch.
Okay.
In terms of it had frame rate issues and the graphics weren't as sharp as they are in other formats. It was released on the Xbox and GameCube as well.
It was indeed, yeah.
I don't have any problems with it. I'm on Chapter 3. Chapter 1 was familiar Turok territory.
Yeah.
Chapter 2 was riding on the back of a pterodactyl.
Yes, it is.
You played Evolution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a crazy, crazy marketing campaign. Like, it was proper, like, in your face when that was coming out. I remember I actually got them still somewhere. Very, very nice postcards. I think this was in the days.
Is the artwork on the cover? Or?
It's the covers of all the games. And then it would just say Evolution and the date on the back.
Oh, so they made it something of the heritage of Turok.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And they had a really nice kind of like scaly emboss on them.
Oh, wow.
And this was back at the time where I was just becoming like interested in graphic design. And I was like, that's really cool. I'm sure I've got them. If I've got them.
It'd be interesting to see.
If I got them in my mum and dad's, you're more than welcome to have them. They just gather in dust in a box. I'll have a look.
Chapter 3 is difficult. It starts off with a bang. It starts off with a T-Rex.
Yeah,
you can throw a few grenades at it and get it out of the way. What I really like about the gameplay is the use of the bow and the use of you have to snipe a lot.
Yes.
You know, it's encouraged that you snipe the enemies, and always, as in other Turok games, they die in very satisfying ways. If you shoot them in the head, the blood flies up. And it's good old fashioned first person shooter fare. I like it. And it's different from how first-person shooters are now. I think I prefer it. I prefer just being thrown in there with a gun in hand. I'll talk a little bit later because I also picked up the Xbox 360 Turok game. And that has more in common with Call of Duty than shooters of old. But we'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
So a big thumbs up for that game. It's Chapter 3 is very hard, but with a little bit of help from my friend Gareth, who owns the game on GameCube, I realised what I had to do.
Yes.
And it's great. But the thing about it is, though you have to replay a level over and over again to get it right, like classic games of old, it never gets boring. It really is that satisfying to play.
Really?
I find it's simple, but satisfying, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I just mentioned I picked up Turok as well. What I'm going to do now is just list these because rather than go into great detail. The Goonies on the Famicom, because I've recently picked up a Scorpion 8 Famiclone.
We talked about this last week, yeah.
A 4-in-1 Famicom cartridge with Batman, Turtles. I mean, I guess it's the Sunsoft Batman, and I guess it's the original Turtles,
yeah,
not the arcade game. Also, Turtles Tournament Fighters is on there, which is an expensive and quite sought-after NES cart. And Spider-Man, which is a Spider-Man game.
It's probably the Acclaim one that I can't remember the label. LJS?
LJN.
LJN, yeah. The one with the rainbow. The crappy licensed Acclaim games.
Yeah. So that was about £10, including postage.
It's not too bad.
For four games, one quite rare. I decided to pick up the Panzer Dragoon demo disc.
Yes.
Now, I've been long curious about this game. I know it's not really my kind of thing, because it's an RPG, but I really like the Panzer Dragoon world, and I like the design of it. And I've been very intrigued to see it, at least. And because that's my only real reason for playing it, just to see it in action and have a go, I thought for £13 for this first disc, the demo disc is the entire first disc of the game.
Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned Saga, have I?
No, you didn't. But I'm very afraid of this, because you were saying, like, oh, I'm very curious to see it. I'm a massive JRPG junkie, as you know. Unfortunately, I don't own the Saturn.
What's better than, you know, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you want it.
I probably will. I've heard it's amazing.
The full game.
It is often regarded as one of the best JRPGs ever made. I know I'm going to see it and go, shit, I need to get that.
And but at least you'll get to play the first disc.
This is true. At least I'll get to see what it is and what it's about.
And I don't know about you, but I think that's quite reasonable.
Yeah,
for a game that goes
quid.
More than £100 on eBay,
yeah.
Then to play a good chunk of it.
Fortunately, because it is a Saturn game, I could theoretically just burn a CD and play it that way anyways. If the demo disc allows you to save and if it allows you to actually carry on from the first disc, which would be interesting to see.
Indeed. I don't know how different the demo experience is from the full game experience. I from what I gather, it's the same. The magazine that the demo disc came with was also on sale on eBay. And I was tempted, but it was £13.
On its own?
Yeah, for a magazine.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
I got this real urge now, since I've started collecting Game Boy games, to go back and view, like, see old Game Boy games and check the reviews and stuff
What
in context what they were regarded as.
Because obviously we look at games slightly differently now. We can judge things by the time when they were released. But games have evolved so much, and the people reviewing them then haven't played the games we've now played.
No, this is the thing, and obviously, like, when I'm doing the biographic videos now, I'm trying to review everything in context. I'm trying to review it in regards to other Game Boy games.
Mm.
That's why if I see some crazy screen tear, or if I see limitations of the console, I'm not really calling them up as being like, oh my god, this is stupid, look at that, you can only have three things in a row. It's because I'm aware of the console, and obviously having grown up with its predecessors and then seeing what came after it, I'm aware of the limitations, but it'd be interesting to see from a perspective culturally as to what people thought of them back then. Mm-hmm. As you say, having not played the games that we've seen, having not known the system's limits, what was regarded as good back then? I guess it'll be the same things I'm probably finding good. Like, Nintendo titles are generally flawless, except Alleyways, which I've been playing today and maybe want to hurt myself.
But that's a great point you raise there about looking back at old game reviews. It always fascinates me. And when you picked up those Mega Drive games and you mentioned it, Bubba and Sticks, that was a game I remember being reviewed back in Sonic the Comic. And I thought that game looked fantastic. And I think I remember them giving it a rather good write-up. Because it's a fond memory, because when you don't have the games, you stare at the reviews for hours and you kind of salivate over them, thinking, oh, I wish I could have this £50 game, you know, when you're a child.
Yep.
But I didn't have to worry about the cost of this next game. This was Worms Blast for PS2.
Oh, really? Quite a rare title.
You tell me this, but I didn't realise it was.
I'm pretty sure.
Because it was released on everything else,
I think. It was, but I believe it's quite sought after.
£1, PS2 game. I was in the mood for a bit of Buster Move.
Yes.
Because I've been playing Buster Move 2 recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not your copy, but my copy.
Fair enough.
That was before our friend Mike gave me a copy of Buster Move 2 to give to Matt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this looked like Buster Move, and so I thought, oh yeah, give this a go. Actually, it kind of builds on it and does a few things differently. You're in a little boat,
yes,
and you've got a bazooka, and you shoot up at different coloured, like balloons. Actually, the fruit, sorry. Different coloured fruits. And your ammo's got different colour qualities, and it's a little bit like Like Buster Move, you'll get a different colour at random. Oh, and have
my
to
mistake, it's the GameCube one that's actually sought after. My
to
apologies.
Line them up. But there's other things that, because it's a bazooka, so it works with, like, it does in worms normally, so you have to fire at the right angle and get the right. It controls in the same way, so there's a strategy there. Also, between these sort of levels, there's other kinds of levels which shake things up, and there are different puzzles in between.
Yes.
Which all use the same boat, worm, bazooka dynamic, but they're a little bit different.
Okay.
It's good. It's well worth a pound. And Rock Band Song Pack 2, as I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I've kind of been collecting the Rock Band Guitar Hero games for the Wii, and before that the PS2. And this is one I didn't have, and I thought for a pound to be able to, because I still play Rock Band, I still enjoy it, to play some songs that I really like that were on there.
Yeah.
That it was well worth a pound. I think to some people people think these games have had their day, but for me, I still get a lot out of them, so I picked that one up. I also bought Worm 3 for both my new Mac, which I got when I was back in the UK, which was by far my biggest expense, and also downloaded the same version for the iPod because it was on sale. It was £1.50.
Yeah.
Worm 3 is like a Flash version of Worms. It's interesting. It's because it's not been developed with like sprites or anything like that. It looks like a Flash game.
Okay.
But a well done one at that. And it's interesting. It's got some new power ups. Yeah. I wanted a Worms to play on my computer again. That was the main reason I bought it at first. And I thought, well, it'd be good on the iPod as well. I do love a bit of Worms. And that was everything I bought in the last couple of weeks.
Okie doke.
Reasonable amount.
That's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I got a few bargains. I try not to break the bank balance.
Yeah. I guess I should jump into what I've been playing then. Like I said, the bought videos you can check out on YouTube anyway, on the Biographer channel, because I posted a video of them all, because there are millions of stuff I've bought in the last couple of weeks. But I've been playing a bit of Destiny,
Thomas. Oh, yeah,
Thomas.
This is the big news this week, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the beta...
It's the big game.
The beta was launched this week, earlier than the week. The alpha was actually a couple of weeks ago after E3, and a lot of people played that, and I didn't get in, unfortunately. So this was my last chance today, because the beta ends after this podcast. It pretty much ends this evening. So I had to sit down and play it a couple of hours today. I'm pretty...
You had to, I love that.
Well, both for the sake of this podcast and to see if all the hype on the Twitters and
like
the Facebooks...
You were having a lot of fun.
I was. I generally quite enjoyed it. Like, it's nothing in terms of, like, hey, it's a first-person shooter. It's nothing that's going to change the way we see gaming. There's a slight section where they're like, hey, you get a free ship if you pre-order. I was like, oh, great. Is it going to be an option where you fly around space and shoot things and stuff? Maybe they will be. Maybe they're just hiding that away, like in Halo Reach when you're in the ship missions.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe there'd be something like that, but there wasn't in this. But it was nice to see the game in action. It's kind of weird because there's a hub world which is very much like an MMO in the fact that you run around in third person view. It reminded me a lot of the three games that spring to mind are Borderlands,
mm-hmm.
because of the RPG mechanics in the first person shooter. Guild Wars, surprisingly, because of the events in the world and the whole MMO mechanics surrounding it, and Halo, just because of the tight first-person shooter and action in it. Obviously, Bungie know what they're doing. There's a lot of weapons, there's a lot of armor and stuff you can kind of customize your character with that add up and give it that very MMO feel. The items that are available even have uncommon and rare and stuff like you would in an MMO, so I'm guessing there may be some kind of in-game marketplace or something where you can sell weapons to other players, perhaps. I don't really know.
This whole sci-fi MMO thing seems like a bit of a trend at the moment, with that recent one come from Blizzard. What's that called?
Which one?
That new Blizzard.
Oh, that's not by Blizzard. It's World of Warcraft developers. You're on about Wildstar,
oh,
right?
Sorry. I thought it was Blizzard. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
No, it isn't.
But that's sci-fi, isn't it?
It is. It is very sci-fi.
And of course, before that, we had Phantasy Star. So this is an it's nice to see more sci-fi MMOs. Well, it appeals to me, the universe.
There's always been quite a few. I mean, like, my favourite MMO of all time is Star Wars Galaxies. I will fight into my grave saying that that is a great MMO. It had a lot of things that aren't available in MMOs now. Like, you could build your own house in a small village and stuff. You could have a starship. You could do all these really cool things. Obviously,
could you fly that?
You could. Fly it and jump to light speed, the first expansion. You could play EVE Online, which is this huge sci-fi world that actually has its own government and all this kind of crazy stuff.
Of course, that's the one with the ships, isn't it?
Worth a couple of $1,000, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems a bit crazy. There's a few. Oh, there's obviously The Old Republic, EA's BioWare Star Wars
that
thing.
One, yeah.
It's still going.
About that. Still going?
Yeah, still going. Mm. But this is the latest, I would say. It's not technically an MMO, though, is
it?
It's
a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
It's a first-person shooter MMO.
It is.
Whoa, isn't that crazy? What a good idea.
It was good. The story missions were quite fun. I did really feel immersed, and I played all of them through. Unfortunately, I couldn't play the moon, because that was only available yesterday, which I didn't know, which kind of sucked, because otherwise I would have got on it a bit earlier. I would have been the moon from the mighty bush. I would have poked Noel Fielding in the eye. Sorry, anyone that's not British, you won't get that reference, I apologise. But I wandered round, I did the story, I listened to Peter Dinklage's voice acting, which I didn't think was too bad. I think the internet's been a bit harsh on
that. Yeah, people really get behind these things, and there's a lot of hate, isn't there?
Yeah, I think people are very quick to judge.
I thought it was fine. I mean, it didn't. From what I heard, it served its purpose.
I thought it was all good and good. I didn't have a problem with it. I then did a little bit of multiplayer. Once you beat the story aspects on the beta, it's calling what it is, it's a demo. Once you beat the story aspects of the demo, then you get to play a few rounds of, what's it called in Halo? It's not capture the flag, it's like controlling points on a map.
The points.
Yes, control the points, that classic. I think it's just called control or something. I think that's what it's called, at least in Destiny. So you have to run around and control these things. Multiplayer feels all right. It's got a really unenthusiastic voice actor, though. Like, all Peter Dinklage criticism aside, like, Halo's voice acting in its multiplayer, while he was a bit bro-y, he was a bit like, yeah, let's punch each other in the arm and play a bit of Halo.
You won't forget expressions
like Kilimanjaro, capture the flag,
gain the lead,
game over,
lost the lead. That was good. You see, we're quoting it now because it's memorable. This isn't memorable. This is just some bloke
in an English accent going like, you've lost point C. Oh, no.
It's trying to do that futuristic thing of a posh...
It's trying to be Kevin Spacey in Moon.
Yes.
But it doesn't quite work.
Does Kevin Spacey do a British accent?
No, he doesn't. No, he's just a Kevin Spacey, but he's very deadpan and very soft about it. And he's just trying to do that same thing. But it doesn't really come off. It doesn't really get me excited to play multiplayer because
because it's got to G you up, hasn't it? The voice, it's got to...
Yeah, but...
It's not a relaxing experience.
Well, it shouldn't be, because then you just kind of get shot, which I did a lot, because people were just running over and doing all these flips.
False sense of security. It's all right, Matt. Just having fun, isn't it? It's just a game.
It's just a laugh, man.
Oh, you've got another point. Well done.
Chill out about it.
Don't worry about
it. And I guess that's probably what they were trying to go for, because I guess... You know, judging from the PR stuff we've seen around Destiny so far, where they're just like, we're reinventing the mod first person.
It's sophisticated.
Shooter. It all seems a bit up its own ass. And I think that this is a result of that. I think everyone's just kind of like, well, we're not going for that same audience, yeah? We're going for everyone, but we're not going for that audience, yeah? Like, and it's
stupid. Regardless of that, it is good.
Yes, but I want to say that there was like a co-op mission type things, much in the same way that Halo 4 has the Forerunner kind of story thing that was playing out every week. And it's kind of in the same vein as Firefight, in that you were a load of people and you were working your way through a map and killing loads of enemies to get to objectives and stuff. I thought that was bloody fun in this.
Yeah.
Purely because not only are their onslaughts of enemies and the AI in them is perhaps unparalleled in any first person shooter I've seen. It's not perfect.
I'm glad that they've taken that route with the AI.
Yeah.
And Bungie have always been very good with that. Having characters with personalities in different ways.
And I've kind of liked how they've tried to rebalance and readdress the issue that obviously they created such strong character hierarchy with Halo, and like you had your grunts, your jackals, your elites, and all this kind of stuff, and how Hunters. They built those classes up. There's now new versions of those in this, and they are, I believe, the first ones are called Drags, then there's Vandals, then there's Captains, and then there's other bigger, more powerful ones. There's also two factions
wizards.
As well, kind of like, that's part of the... Shit, I can't remember what they're called. Heretics or something like that? There's two factions within the world that there's these actual... Oh, God, I can't remember the names of the two factions that you're fighting. But they're pretty much Covenant and Flood by different names. And the wizards are part of those. But what I actually quite liked about this whole mission thing was... A, the whole map, like, when you're doing missions in the world, the whole map is still accessible. You can still wander around all of what is old Russia. You can still get on your little speeder bike thing and drive around
the
world.
Did you get one of them?
I did, yeah. Okay. Quite early on. But you could drive around the whole world. Like, you're not just limited to the small area you're in. Like, the whole map exists, which is amazing. I think it's a real feat that you're not just limited to, essentially, a follow-the-corridor level that I felt a lot of Halo was. For as much exploration as it gave you, it was all very linear.
Mm.
Which in this, I guess there are points where, you know, you will go into buildings, they will be very linear because of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this whole feeling of, if I wanted to, I could just go around over there. There's really powerful enemies, I can go kill them rather than doing the mission. There's something really liberating about that that I quite like.
Mm. And because it's that kind of game, then you will feel the need to shoot overpowered enemies to level up.
And that's the nice thing about the firefight mode as well. There's bosses. And they actually require teamwork. They're not something you can just run and gun on your own. Like, I was with two other guys and we were really struggling.
So it's like Fancy Star?
Yeah, kind of.
Or any other.
It's kind of a Lost Planet vibe to it for me. Because you're all kind of just this gigantic enemy and there's three or four of you running around trying to kill it as well as other enemies.
I just remember the dragon on Fancy Star Online. The first big thing you fight together with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
it was
a good
a dragon,
game.
Wasn't it?
It was a dragon, yeah. It was underground in a big fiery lava world. Yeah, I played PSO to death.
I've not forgotten that.
It's a good game. I'm a bit sceptical as to whether it's going to deliver on all its promises. It kind of made me wish that No Man's Sky was coming out a bit sooner than it was, like I was saying to you. Because I think that game will really test companies like Activision and like EA, who are trying to release these first-person shooters, to try and mix it up a little bit. And Destiny's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's quite there. I think it's just a next-gen first-person shooter.
Mm. But and it does something that's never been done before.
It does, yes. And it does it very well. Like,
there's no offline.
It's taken bits from other games and done it. I actually don't know if there's no offline, but I assume there isn't.
There's no offline.
I would assume there isn't because I got
it's
kicked from a mission.
Online.
But I can live with that. Yeah. Same with Titanfall, and I enjoyed that too. Mm. So, been playing anything else?
Yeah, we're talking about first-person shooters here. I talked earlier about having played Turok Evolution. Now we've been talking about Halo a bit. I actually forgot to mention there were things in Evolution that reminded me of Halo.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Big open areas.
Okay.
You know, like in the original Halo, big open grassy areas. Enemies which have their own unique personality and their own unique strategies, depending on which enemy. They're like, do you remember the jackals in Halo? You might have mentioned them.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. These lizard men, spindly lizard men creatures, which have different classes, like snipers and soldiers and such.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of Halo as well, which are all good things. Also, there's a bit of exploration. You have to jump quite a lot in old Turok games.
Yeah.
And, well, that was frustrating in the original because there were some tricky platforming sections. It kind of toned it down as the games progressed.
Which is kind of sad because I kind of enjoyed that aspect of Turok.
It's always been there in the Turok games until the latest one, which, have to point out straight away, it is quite far removed from the other games. It's not been developed by the same company, of course. Iguana Entertainment, which were one of Acclaim's own studios, turned into Acclaim Studio Austin, I think, Texas. And then, of course, were no more. And it seems like Touchstone bought the rights, I think, and released this game, simply called Turok. Now, Turok has more in common with more modern first-person shooters. For example, it does things like the obligatory training level gets used to the moves. You go off, you start up in space, it's a little bit like Aliens.
Yeah.
You're part of a group of, what would you call them, Marines.
Yeah.
And of course, straight away, it's like people like soldiers, they like Marines. This is like Halo, this is like Gears of War, this is like Call of Duty. You're these big, bulky guys, and you've got this attitude. But you're the one kind of Native American guy there called Turok.
Yeah.
And you're a bit different than the rest. So Turok himself is quite cool and comes off all right.
Yeah.
The other ones that are a lot like the characters in Gears of War.
Yeah, that's how it felt to me watching you playing it.
Yeah. And you're buddied up with another guy. In the training mission, basically, the ship's falling apart and you have to run through corridors. Things will explode and you follow someone's lead through it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, yeah, all first-person shooters seem to have this training mode where you don't actually get a gun straight away as well. Just like we experienced when we played the latest Killzone game.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get a gun. Same in Turok. You don't get a gun for ages.
Of course you don't.
And you just find a gun. And there's that moment, as in most first-person shooters, where you find the gun.
Yeah.
And then you pick up the gun. And then it becomes a first-person shooter. Then it's not about learning the controls anymore of running and jumping and crouching.
In its defense, Destiny actually handled that quite well.
I think Destiny did, because it threw you right in there, didn't it?
It did.
It wasn't like, here's how you walk around.
No, it was just kind of like, right, we got to get inside. So you run inside.
You get a gun quite quickly. It did do the there's a gun thing.
Yeah, but it did do the there's a gun thing. And then Peter Dinklage says to you, I take it you know how to use it. And I was just like, yes I do. Thank you, Peter Dinklage. I know that the right trigger's going to be shoot. Thanks.
Yeah. Turok does keep... The new Turok does keep one of the old things, that the guns have a secondary function, which is always cool.
Yeah, I always liked that about Turok.
Mm. And it keeps that, which is nice.
You also got a bow, which is...
You get the bow a bit later on. And you're buddied up with another guy at the beginning, which again is typical of modern first-person shooters.
Is it co-op?
I don't think it is, no.
Okay.
No, so he's the one talking at you things. And what I always liked about Turok is you were the silent but deadly guy, you know. You felt like you were in control.
Yeah.
And actually, well, you're not alone. You do actually feel like you're in control. This guy's such an idiot. You're just like running through doing all the things. He's like, hey, look at this. It's like, look at what? I don't know. I'm just going to get on with it.
Yeah. But like, it kind of annoyed me earlier because, as you say, like, Turok to me has always been this kind of like, hey, you're not as powerful as everything else. You need to kind of be a bit stealthy. You need to be a bit clever about how you
kill
things.
You get a bow
things.
And a knife. You do get a knife,
which
is quite nice, a Rambo knife. And you're stabbing dinosaurs and some very cool animation. The dinosaurs in the new Turok, I think it's not that new anymore, but they look great. And there's a moment where you go to the edge of a cliff, you're going through some thick jungle.
Yeah.
This is the very start of the game. And then you look over the landscape, it's a bit like Jurassic Park, and you see giant brontosauruses. And you think, wow, this is like the Turok game I always wanted to play. It's just a huge, looks like a huge expanse of world full of dinosaurs. It feels very alive and very exciting. But the actual gameplay itself, sadly, as I mentioned before, it's a little bit like Call of Duty. It's very much stick to this path, go down
point
there.
A, point B.
These key events happen, set pieces. You're constantly brought out for little cutscenes and little flashbacks. And the actual shooting itself is very satisfying.
Yeah.
It has this thing that I don't like about modern first-person shooters where you can't see the enemies.
Yeah.
The human enemies in Turok are very dull so far. They just wear all black. They look a bit like Helgast, actually.
They do. I was thinking. kind of a cross between Helgast and Locust, actually, I was thinking.
So they're not great, and I wish I could see them. It's also because it's dark thing again.
Muddy
Everything
textures.
Looks muddy and dark, in at least a section in the minute. So it's a perfectly functional first-person shooter with some really nice graphical touches. The dinosaurs look amazing. It's got a few unique things going on. But in the end, it just feels like another one of those modern-age first-person shooters, which is a shame because Turok used to have something unique.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess you have to go with the times. If they released a game like Turok Evolution, then people would think it was old, which they probably did when Evolution came out. They probably thought it was getting old. I quite like that old style. Myself.
I thought it was all right.
But no means it's a perfect game, Evolution. I'm not saying it's the best game ever.
No, of course.
But more like Turok. I'd love to see the franchise come back.
Wasn't there talk of a Turok film at one point?
What? I didn't know.
Quite recently.
Yeah. I come back with the old story arc. Evolution, I found out, was a prequel to the original Turok game on N64, which was quite cool. And you had this character, Tal Set, and I remember Turok 2, you played that other guy, Joshua Fireseed. And they had this kind of... I never understood it, totally.
Yeah.
But they had this nice storyline going on.
I think most of the storyline, actually, was kind of one of the first cross-media things. I remember there being a lot of Dark Horse comics.
Maybe I should investigate the comics if I want more Turok.
I've also got a Turok Game Boy game. Maybe I'll give that a look as well.
There were Game Boy games of nearly every one of them, I think.
Yeah.
Even Turok 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I played a couple of other games when I was back home. I'd picked up a copy of Skull Monkeys for PS1, which is a platform game.
Yes.
A sequel to The Neverhood.
Yeah.
It's quite different than Neverhood because it is a more straightforward, like, old-style platformer. It's great, though. I like it. Extreme G3 I picked up as well for the PS2.
Yeah? How is
Another
it?
Another acclaimed game.
Seeing it in bloody...
You know what? It's great, and I think it's a game you should probably go back and look at because it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it just got overlooked at the time.
I think so.
Because it's really fun.
Yeah.
I've liked the Extreme G game since the N64 original. I like the idea of these bikes that go really fast. It's not like they've got wheels. It's not like a Wipeout where they float around. You know, I like Wipeout, but I like the bikes. I think they're cooler in Extreme G. It's a great game. Give it another go if you haven't played it for a while. Or if you see it cheap and want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Matt, you got me a copy of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure for the PS1.
How was it?
Which is great. And it has... JoJo's Bizarre Adventure has a one-on-one fighting mode.
Yeah.
Right? When I had the game on Dreamcast, I never went on that option. I just played the story mode, which was quite different. Which is more like a side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of thing. I think I just totally... missed out the option.
Really?
I didn't notice it was there. But there is a proper just one-on-one fighter game, which is really good.
Yeah.
And it's done by the Street Fighter 3 team. I did a bit of research.
Well, this is the
on.
Thing, yeah. I was quite surprised when you said you didn't like it and sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't actually play...
The
fighting game part of it.
Oh, Thomas.
Oh, dear. Anyway, the PS1 version has a unique mode that is only on that version, which is a super story mode. I haven't tried it yet because obviously I'm more leaning towards the arcade mode. But it's a mode that isn't in the latest HD re-release of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay.
So in fact, the PS1 version is the best one to have because it's the most complete.
Good times.
Well, it seems that way anyway, yeah. I'm playing a fair few PS1 games. WRC Arcade, which is a great rally game.
Okay.
For any fans of Sega Rally, you just want a straightforward arcade-style rally game. This is a great one, and I've always enjoyed it for a quick blast every now and again.
Yeah.
So I recommend that. As I mentioned before, I played with Buster Move 2, Worms Blast. Also, I think this is coming from the Turok kick I had. I went back to Tomb Raider, the latest one, playing it on PS3. Now, I only ever play this when I go back to the UK because I have it saved on my parents' PS3 in the UK. So that's the only time
I've played
it.
Use your cloud saves.
I could do, but there's something about only playing it when I'm back home. I even got chatting to my mum about it, about Lara Croft as a strong female character and how her story progresses and how this is her first experience that makes her the person she is in the later games.
Yeah,
and it was a really interesting chat.
Okay.
And also, it just looks amazing.
It does.
I hadn't seen it for a while. I haven't seen it since I was last back in the UK, but I was like blown away once more. This is one of the... I'm going for a say it's one of the best games of the last generation.
I would wholeheartedly agree. I believe there's a reason it was ported to the PS4. Not only does it look stunning, but it plays very well.
Tomb Raider. Great game. I look forward to my next trip back from the UK when I play Tomb Raider again. And that's what I've played over the last couple of weeks. I think that's pretty much all. Actually, no, it isn't.
Yeah?
Ah. Oh,
what?
Tearaway. I play Tearaway on the train going...
Bloody time.
And what a fantastic game. What a unique game. What a joyous experience.
Told you.
It is. And yes, I feel bad that I didn't get on it sooner. Because I've had this sitting in my Vita for a while since Matt completed it and I borrowed it off him.
It's one of the best games ever made. Both in uniqueness visual appeal yeah. and story. It yeah. is a fantastic game. If you own a Vita and you don't own Tearaway, like, I stopped talking about it because...
It is so intertwined with the Vita's hardware as well, though. It's so important that you play it on Vita. It couldn't be done any other way.
It should come with the Vita. It is the perfect, hey, this is what the PlayStation Vita is game.
Poking a finger through the bottom
it's great
of the screen.
It's amazing.
You interact with this console in a way that not many Vita games make you do.
No, exactly. Most of them just act as if it's, hey, this is a portable console. Media Molecule, unfortunately, they've kind of been crippled by it now because I doubt they'll ever make another Vita game again. If not, it'll be a little bit panic game.
Because Tearaway wasn't a success.
Well, it did, okay. Like, I think it broke even, but, like, it wasn't the runaway hit because no one's got a Vita, unfortunately. Like, I think everyone who got a Vita that gives a shit about games probably bought it. But I would say it's arguably reason to buy a Vita. Like,
I think that anyone who's really into video games should experience Tearaway.
Definitely. Good times.
What's that?
I have no idea what was making the noise in the background.
That was really scary. It's like a voice.
You left something on.
No. Oh, it's a text. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, everyone, buy Tearaway.
And the Vita.
Yeah, send me the Molecule some love.
Perfect excuse to buy the new Vita, I guess. I assume that must be coming out soon.
That must be out by now, right?
The slim
also,
Vita.
They're going to make Vita TV, they've said, a thing outside of Japan, which is nice. It's going to be released in North America, probably also in Europe. Unfortunately, I don't think you'd be able to play Tearaway on it because there's no option to use the Vita as a controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a shame. But that's going to happen. You should pick it up. If you know someone with a Vita, just borrow it off them because it's not very long. But it's a great game, great experience, especially if you've got kids. I think kids would love it.
That's it, yeah. Seriously.
On that check note, I guess we should wrap things up. What have we got left, Thomas?
We've just got time to talk about the games. All these games that are coming out.
Wow, this is going to take hours, Tom. Are you sure you want to talk about this so late in the podcast?
Let's just talk about what's come out recently that's worth mentioning is the Magic 2015 game that's come out.
Yeah.
This is a cross-format release. I think there's been a Magic game prior to this on Xbox.
Sorry.
Was it a free game, if I remember correctly?
I believe
Gathering card
I don't
game?
Think it was to start with. I think it became a Games for Gold thing, I think it became subsequently free with free-to-play content.
I know there's a lot of fans of Magic out there, which would probably be interested in playing this game. I know our own Blast Processor, Dave, has been dabbling in it, and hopefully he'll make a video on that. He did attempt to, but unfortunately the sound levels weren't quite right, and he's having to re-record it. Mousecraft came out, which looked like an interesting game. And Qbert Rebooted came out on Steam.
Okay.
Qbert, a classic arcade game.
One I've never actually played. Believe it or not.
You should experience it. Now, this latest version includes new graphics, but also the ability to play it with the old graphics as well, which is
that's cool. That's
always
a nice little feature.
Coming out in this next week, we've got Last of Us Remastered on the 29th of July. Now, this is one of them instances where a game released at the end of a console's lifespan, which, of course, looks very nice, similar way Tomb Raider does. But maybe there are a few things cut back in that they've been able to improve. Not take anything away from the PS3 version, but they've managed to maybe keep the frame rate more constant. I've heard it's like 60 frames per second always.
Yeah, and apparently they've had to redo most of the game because they used, if you've played the game, the Ellie and... I've forgotten the guy's name. This is a little I care about The Last of Us. Joel, I believe. The models that they use in the cutscenes of the game look a lot nicer than the characters used in the regular game.
Okay.
They've taken the more HD models and then they've put those back into the game. So it isn't just like a port where they flip the switch. They have had to rework the game.
They
to
changed
make it
Lara's appearance as well in Tomb Raider.
They did indeed, yeah.
Not that she looked bad before.
Well, they just used a higher res model, from what I understood. But yeah, it's the same process. They had to actually go back into the game's code and jingle with things and stuff.
Also, I assume, being a PS4 game, it's going to have some lovely lighting. I noticed this about watching some graphics comparisons of Destiny on the Xbox PS3 compared to the PS4 Xbox One versions,
yeah,
is the lighting is that it glows so much more in these.
Really?
Yeah, it is the biggest thing when I look at games that are on both last gen and this gen, is the lighting is just so much more atmospheric. That's
yeah. Well, they do rain and water very well as well in these gens, as we know from Killzone and all this kind of stuff.
You've got Pinball FX2 coming out on Xbox One.
Okay.
Pinball game.
Great.
Obviously.
What I bought my Xbox One for.
Sacred 3. I don't really follow the Sacred series, but there's another Sacred game.
Neither do I. If you're into it, pick it up. Why not?
Why not? There's not a lot else to choose from if you have played all the games you own and desperately need to buy a new release. Then
these waters be barren. Arr.
But if you like old games, go on the Wii U's Virtual Console. Download the old Mega Man games. Mega Man 5 and 6 are now available there. Also, Kirby's Nightmare in Dream Land for Game Boy Advance.
Which I may have to pick up myself.
Which is the remake of Kirby's Adventure for the NES. Is great. I don't have a version that saves, because I have a naughty bootleg version without knowing. So, tempting. They're always releasing some great... It's wise to keep your eye on Wii U Virtual Console, because they just creep out.
They do, yeah.
So keep checking back on that. They've also a couple of other games have been released on Wii U recently. I can't remember what they are. These are downloadable titles. It seems to be more going on there than there does on
actual
Xbox
physical,
360 and PS3.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I guess those two consoles are kind of coming to the end of their lifespan now. They will be supported, I guess, with physical releases for the next year or two, but I don't think they're going to have the constant stream of downloadable content.
Doesn't seem that way.
Well, they're releasing things later on those consoles, aren't they? Trying to get people to buy them on the PS4.
Although it seems that Destiny has been released on everything on the same day at the moment.
It will.
At least.
Yeah. I assume that will still be the case. Bungie seem pretty on it. Activision are generally quite good at having everything on the same console, like Call of Duty and stuff, for example. Assassin's Creed.
Unity,
but Ubisoft,
is the next
it also
one,
yeah. does the same. Mm. Yeah, Unity will be coming out soon.
Yeah,
be good.
There's some big releases, but not so many releases. There's a few like Shadow of Mordor's on the horizon, which they seem to be pushing.
Oh, I'm not that excited about anything though. Like I want No Man's Sky. That's pretty much it.
Mm.
Not really feeling current gen stuff at the moment.
No, you're in your Game Boy world.
I am in my even just playing retro games recently. It's kind of made me a bit refreshing playing old games that are purely about gameplay. And, you know, I'm a story-driven gamer, but at the same time, I just don't really care for the stories being told in most modern games. Like, I got bored of Watch Dogs. I'm sure I talked about this in the last episode, so I'm not going to retread it. Gaming experience is good. Terrible stories that are being retold in every medium at the moment, bad.
I have a good feeling about Wolfenstein, though.
Yeah, Wolfenstein had a very good story.
I will go back to that.
I think you should. Speaking of coming back, you should come back next week. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to us in iTunes. Give us a cheeky rate while you're there. Tell us what you like about the podcast, what we should change. If you want to tell us in person, you can do it on Facebooks at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. You can let us know on the old Twitter at TMAcast. And, of course, you can listen to this podcast on TomAndMattAttack.com and BlastProcess.com. I've been Matt.
And I've been Tom, and I promise next time we'll have no teabagging.
We won't. There will be no teabagging required for the next podcast. Until next time, guys. Game on.
Game on.